This morning, speaking of the promise of peace, and our text is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at 6. Luke chapter 2, and verse 6, if you would follow along the reading of the Word of God. Luke 2, 6 says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May our Heavenly Father, the author of peace, bring understanding and inspiration to our hearts and minds in the reading of his holy name. This morning we lit the second Advent candle, known as the Candle of Peace. The world in that day, at that time in history, was short on peace. Remember that the region of Galilee where Jesus was born and raised and lived out his ministry was under the occupation of cruel Roman dictatorship. It is clear in the reading of the gospel accounts and the historical record that it was a very difficult period of time for many people, most obviously the Jews. Families certainly struggled in the ability of the people to be successful in all aspects of life was very limited, not impossible. If you look at a wider account of history at that time in the world, you would find that there was no shortage of conflicts between nations and people groups all over the world. Peace was in short supply. Words like pain, strife, poverty, and hopelessness were descriptive of the day. That is the world our Savior was born into. This is the atmosphere in which Mary and Joseph were bringing a child into the world. You will remember that the situation that the young couple found themselves in was having to make a long, hard journey to show up for tax day under the hand of their Roman occupiers. And then they get to town and there's no vacancy at the red roof or the super 8. No peace, just struggle, inconvenience. As new parents a number of years ago, Ron and I had a lot of concerns regarding the state of the nation and our world. Raising children in a conflict-filled world. Moral disintegration was getting into full swing, with the traditional values that seemed to fill our communities and lives when we were growing up seemed to be crumbling around us. And so if that was the case 35 years ago, what about now as our first grandchild has come into the world? Peace. Peace is in short supply. There's no shortage of people, however, who are seeking peace, who are searching for peace. There's no shortage of people who desire peace. I want you to think a moment about how people these days seek peace. What do you see in people who are stressed as they search for peace? What do you observe in folks around us who have conflict, disappointment, and broken relationships as they search for some level of peace? People turn to all kinds of things to attempt to lessen the level of unrest in their lives and how they feel about them. I could list many. But the point is that unbelieving, unredeemed, unsaved people have no peace.
Yeah.
Well, the good news, the very good news this morning, is that the Christ child, the baby in the manger, was sent to bring peace. The Bible teaches that Jesus came to bring us peace on earth. As the song said, that was casting crowns, by. Look at this little passage in the first chapter of the book of Luke. These words were spoken by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, beginning in 78. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. You see, everything was about to change. Not the way that people of the day would necessarily have wanted it to change, but the watershed change that Jesus came to make was not in politics or world powers. The change that Jesus came to make was to pave the path to inner peace in the lives of people. The changes that are a result of the coming of the Christ child are changes of the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls. Let's look at our text in Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were scared out of their sins. But the angel said to them, say it,
do not
be afraid. These shepherds are out there doing shepherd stuff, the stuff that shepherds do. They're keeping watch. It was a normal night, and these were the normalest of normal people. The low end of the levels of society as the world saw it. Please note that this announcement, this proclamation that the Christ child had come, was made to normal people. Say, I'm normal. See, God speaks to us in the everyday. We're out there doing our normal thing, and God's voice comes our way. Remember Moses? I don't think it's a coincidence that Moses was out there tending the sheep when the announcement of redemption, the announcement of the message of rescue came to Israel when Moses was out there doing shepherd stuff. Normal stuff. And it comes with these first words, do not be afraid. Listen, Fear is the opposite of peace. Jesus comes to bring peace. And peace erases fear. Fear is prevalent today because peace is sparse. I said fear is prevalent today because peace is in short supply. What do you fear today? Jesus comes to wipe fear from your life. He says, do not be afraid. Of all the messages of Jesus, of all the words of Jesus, of all the words that are in the red letters of the KJV, of all the messages of Jesus, this one stands out over and over and over again. Do not be afraid. Here are a few examples. Luke 8:50. During this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid.
Say that. Don't be afraid.
Just believe and she will be healed. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Matthew 6:34. Remember this one? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
True words were never spoken.
Yeah.
Matthew 14:27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. John 14:27. I love this verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus comes to bring peace. Peace is the antidote to fear. Look at these next couple of verses of our text. But the angel said to him, verse 10, do not be afraid, I bring you good news. Say good news, amen. Good news, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped up in cloths, lying in a manger. Rob and I went to grandparent class. We learned about a contemporary baby thing. Rock and Carly, maybe you know about this. It's called a swab. It's called a swab. I assume they took that right out of the gospel story. A swab. A swab is an already pre-made pouch that you put the little guy in. It covers them real nice and tight and draws them up close, and the teacher of the grandparent class suggested strongly that we consider having a swab for the new little one. And I said, Mary and Joseph, swab. See, the angel gives the message, the explanation, the reason for the season. Christ is born. This is how and why you can get beyond fear. This is how you can get past being afraid. This is how you can get beyond being terrified. Jesus is born. The angel says, I bring news that will bring great joy. Instead of fear, joy. Instead of life as it has been, good news. A new start. A new beginning. The prophets had been foretelling it. It was bound to happen. Because God's new.
He says he's going to live.
It is the event, the arrival that Israel has been waiting for, because they had been told about it for your seniors. In fact, they had been told about it for generation after generation after generation, each generation passing down the word, the hope, the foretelling that the Messiah was going to come. Messiah would come. And now, on this day, the text says, today, today, the angel gives the when and the where and the description. This passage, friends, is a significant piece, listen, of progressive revelation. God is revealing himself to man. And as we know by reading the scriptures from front to back, it is a progressive revelation of who he is. And here in this moment, at this place in time, to these lonely shepherds comes an important piece of progressive revelation. Christ, the Messiah, has come. He is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and he is Christ the Lord. The next revelation of who God is. Today, this is how you'll find him. You will have the opportunity to see him with your own eyes. Now, I want you to look for a moment at this great proclamation of the angels, the great praise song of the day on that occasion. It's not just a news announcement, it's a song of praise and worship. Luke 2:13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The message of the angel to the shepherds comes with a choir cantata. I thought that was great. Says a great company of the heavenly host, praising God. Look at this. Glory to God in the heavens, peace to men on earth. Glory to God in the highest heavens, peace to men on earth. Praise to God the Father, the author of this plan, who enacted the redemption of mankind through his Son, Jesus the Messiah. It has happened. He has arrived. The moment we've all been waiting for, waiting so long. Glory to God and thanks to our Heavenly Father. And the result is the enactment of his plan. The plan is peace on earth. Are you there? Peace in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Glory and thanks to God who has put the plan in place. While Jesus came to bring peace, it often seems that the holidays are a time of conflict, and strife, stress. Does it really mean that Jesus brings peace? And how do we experience it in our lives? First of all, Jesus brings peace between God and us. Or, more personally, Jesus brings peace between God and me. He brings peace between God. You see, the Bible teaches clearly that this Messiah, this firstborn of God, comes to reconcile man with God. The root of all conflict is the same, sin. It is in all of us and it fundamentally breaks us, affecting every relationship we have. But first and foremost, sin breaks our relationship with God. In fact, it makes us his enemy. Colossians 1:21. This includes you who were once far away from God. Say far away.
Far away.
You were far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and desires and actions. God is perfectly holy, which means that he is completely separate from sin. While he longs to connect with us, our sin makes that impossible. He did something to remove the barrier of sin that stood between us and him. He sent Jesus to sacrifice his life to pay the price for our sin. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What we saw in the announcement of the angels, Paul explains here in theological detail. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
Yeah.
What a beautiful text of scripture. If we put our faith in Jesus, our sin is removed, and now we have peace with God. I said, when we put our faith in Jesus, our sin is removed, and now we have peace with God. We are no longer his enemies, but we now find ourselves in a loving relationship with our God. This is why Christmas is such a celebration. Jesus came to give us peace. Peace between us and God. Secondly, Jesus brings peace between us and others. Jesus not only brings peace between God and humanity, but also to human relationships. Listen to this reasoning. Since conflict flows out of sin, once sin is forgiven, once sin is wiped away, once sin is dealt with, it opens the path for peace between people. Peace in our earthly relationships is the natural result of being at peace with God. I said, peace in our earthly relationships is a natural result of the development of peace with God in our lives. Therefore, Christians should actively pursue peace in relationship with others.
Amen.
Christians should actively pursue peace in relationships with others. We should remember that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers." I remember Sister Melissa Bricker talking about that one day. We're to be bringers, bearers of shalom. Shalom. Look at this verse in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. When people insult you, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. But as to you, you are to live and interact with others. This looks like a peace description to me. A recipe of peace. You see, peace isn't some distant, ethereal reality that comes through meditation or wishful thinking. Peace comes through our choice to actively pursue it. And the Bible gives us wisdom on how to do that. Colossians 3, beginning in 13. Oh, here we go. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. That sounds like peace to me, brothers. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. If you don't hear anything else I say to you, hear this. You are called to live in peace. To live in peace. We should extend peace to everyone. Because we live in a sinful world, we will always have to deal with cruel, rude, inconsiderate humans. In fact, the commentator that I read called them jerks. I decided not to include that in my sermon. But as Christians, we're called to make allowances and to forgive people in our lives who hurt us. We need to extend the same type of grace to others that God extends to us. It's pretty easy to point fingers at others. But if not careful, we can be part of the problem. In any conflict, we need to make sure we're not continuing the problem, but changing our attitudes and actions to make peace, to live in peace. We also need to make sure that we're not the type of people who stir up contention and drama.
Amen.
This is the opposite of what it means to be a Christian. Elizabeth moved into a dormitory at Anderson University. They wore t-shirts in that dorm. The young ladies said, save the drama for your mama. In other words, let's live in peace. He describes the life of a Christian as being filled with the Spirit and living lives in which the fruit of the Spirit is evident. Peace is one of those fruits. Y'all got a peace tree? You might have a peach tree. But y'all have a peace tree. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 gives us Paul's list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can almost pluck the word peace out of there and say all of these together are a recipe or a formula for peace. If you want to experience peace this Christmas season, as well as the rest of the year, start by being at peace with God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then live out these fruits of the Spirit. You see, what happens is you allow God to change you from the inside out, and you will become a person who actively pursues peace. Walking in lives of peace will be a shining light to the world around us. That world is seeking desperately for peace. But the peace can only come. Peace is only through none but Jesus, the child of Bethlehem. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to our men. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that indeed, in you, we can live in peace. We can exist in a peaceful relationship with you, our Father God, because of the Christ child that came. We can live in peace among others as you work in us the fruits of the Spirit. We can live in a world with more peace as the Christ child of peace enters our lives. May we be a light of peace to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our communities, to Butler and Warren County, to Ohio, to our nation, our world. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with each of us, in Jesus' name.